Washington Court of Appeals, Division 1, is now in session. The Honorable Mary Kay Becker presiding.
Good morning. Please be seated. Our first case this morning is State versus Bateman. Are the parties ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, please proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. Oliver Davis for Mr. Daniel Bateman. May I reserve 2 minutes, Your Honor?
All right.
I do want to primarily focus this morning on the question whether the identity theft statute sets forth alternative means. I'd like to take just a moment beforehand, though, to emphasize the importance of an issue that Mr. Bateman has raised in his statement of additional grounds and clarify
Mr.
that.
Mr. Bateman raises a statement in statement of additional grounds, but you're stuck with the appellate brief. We really do not want to have encourage the practice of the two of them getting mixed up with each other. If you wanted to endorse something in his statement of additional grounds, it's your responsibility to bring it before the court in the normal, formal procedures. We're not going to hear you argue about something in the statement of additional grounds, so leave that out.
Understood, Your Honor. The question I would like to address then is the question of whether the identity theft statute sets forth alternative means. It is a question of legislative intent, so one begins with the language of the statute. And that language is that a person commits identity theft if, with intent to commit a crime, one obtains, possesses, uses, or transfers the financial information of another person. And here, of course, we're talking about credit cards.
What is your position as to how many means that consists of?
That there are four means, Your Honor. That each of those, yes, that each of those, under the tests that this court has applied in Nonagon and the test that the Supreme Court just recently applied in March in Owens, those terms do not, or rather they do vary too significantly to be definitional. And I emphasized the question of a definition in my opening brief. What this court said in Nonog is that alternative means are not set forth if the multiple terms that are listed are merely descriptive or definitional of a single act or instance of conduct. So, for example, in that case, which involved interfering with domestic violence reporting, the crime was committed when one commits a domestic violence incident and then prevents somebody from calling 911, prevents them from making a report to a medical professional, or prevents them from making a report to a law enforcement officer. And the court expressly indicated that in determining whether those are alternative means, the court does not blindly follow any mechanistic test that, for example, would rely solely on the question of whether the terms were or were not set forth in differently lettered or numbered subsections. So in this case, it's true that obtains, possesses, uses, or transfers are not set forth in separate sections. They're simply listed one after the other with commas. But the court has indicated
that obtain without possessing or possess without obtaining.
Well,
this is descriptive.
Possessing certainly could begin with obtaining, and one could certainly say that when one obtains the credit card information of another one, that is the commencement portion of possessing. But I believe that the Owens case indicates that one has to look at all of the terms individually. So, for example, if one were to look at the ARNT test that the respondent has suggested applies, and I agree that it applies, the ARNT court asked, are these terms repugnant to each other?
And don't you think that the ARNT test that you're referring to is inapplicable in this situation, because what ARNT was concerned about is deciding whether the legislature was defining a single offense or multiple offenses. And so that's the test that you use to decide between a single offense and multiple offenses. All right, then, if you decide that it's a single offense, yet it can be committed in by alternative means, that's a different question. It isn't measured by the ARNT factors, is it?
You know, Your Honor, what I learned from reading ARNT is that, in fact, when one talks about alternative means, I think one is talking about separate crimes. And so means, although the ARNT court used the word means.
What particular language or discussion in ARNT do you think supports what you're just trying to say?
The contention that the court said that if there are simply, these are simply descriptive ways of committing the offense, alternative means are not set forth. But if the terms are repugnant.
What was the issue in ARNT?
The issue was, I believe, a larceny by receiving public assistance improperly. And the question was a question of unanimity. And that is why the alternative means issue arises, is because if the statute does set forth alternative means, according to ARNT, it really does set forth multiple different crimes. And that's why a unanimity issue arises, because if six jurors have relied on one means that itself is a particular crime, and six jurors have relied on another means, which in itself is a different crime, then you don't have a jury of 12 agreeing.
That's means, not crimes. I mean, the ARNT test, if you go back and read the case, it's to decide whether there's different crimes to begin with. There might be, just to take an extreme example, if you commit, burglary, that's one crime. If you commit assault, that's another crime. It's easy to tell those crimes apart, but it may not be so easy to determine the difference between some crimes. So the ARNT test helps you do that. Is this one offense or two different offenses? Then there's a separate question, which is the one that you're concerned with here. Nobody's saying that identity theft is two different crimes or three different crimes. That's already, you're all in agreement on that. So the ARNT test doesn't come into play. It's a single crime, right? Now, the question is then, and the one that I understand you to be raising, is whether or not identity theft can be committed by alternative means.
That's correct, that is. And if I've misread ARNT, I apologize. I understand it to clarify that means different crimes. Now, this court has said that the question of whether alternative means are created does hinge on whether the multiple terms that are listed are merely definitional. In other words, do they describe simply the same act? And Owen said that if the terms vary significantly, then they do, in fact, set forth alternative means.
Well, so now that we've got that straight, let's return to Judge Varela's question. How could there possibly be alternative means when every single one of the means involves possession? You can't do any of those things unless you possess the crime.
Indeed, there is that consistency in between the terms. But, for example, obtaining one of the listed terms is the opposite of transferring. So if one were to apply the ARNT test, those terms are repugnant to each other.
But what if one weren't to apply the ARNT?
If one were
now,
to apply
now,
the,
what are we going to do?
If one were to apply the non-OG test, one would say that those terms are so similar that they are essentially not similar enough to be simply definitions of a single act. The conduct varies significantly,
okay,
and the legislature.
You're not making any sense. Okay, you just told me a little while ago there were four means.
Yes.
Okay, we presented you with the problem that each one of them is possessional.
Yes.
Okay, so now you agreed to that. Okay, does that mean there are three means and that possession means nothing?
No, I mean that they
aren't they all just different ways of possessing a card?
They certainly can share an attribute, but I would point out that actually obtaining financial information is a separate crime, the crime that appears in the RCW's prior.
So I'm asking you to rationalize your position. Are you now saying that possession is not a separate means?
I'm saying that possession, use, obtaining, and transferring are all four separate means.
Okay.
And I believe the legislature's statement in 935001, which we've both cited supplementally, makes that absolutely clear.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Stephanie Guthrie, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for King County, and I represent the state of Washington in this case.
Why aren't you embracing his position? You could get a do-over, and every one of those alternative means could be charged, and I believe you could have like 16 charges on the retrial.
Your Honor is correct, but I don't think that's what the legislature intended in this case, and I don't think it would necessarily be reasonable to say that you could bring a separate charge for obtaining the card on one day, possessing it all through that, using it on a third day and transferring it to someone else on a fourth day. I think that's not what the legislature intended to do, that you could charge four separate charges.
But you can charge, can't you, for separate uses of the card?
Yes, because...
And why not separate possessions of the card?
Because the legislature explicitly stated that what they were trying to do was to allow separate charges for each use. They were responding likely to State v. Leda in 2006, which had said that no matter how many times you use it, it's all one charge.
So is it you think then that the legislature created separate offenses so that you could charge one count of use and one count of possess, obtain, or transfer?
No, Your Honor. I think that if the defense argument were to prevail that there are four alternative means, that's the situation we would be left in.
Well, but what I'm asking you is, what is your position?
My position is that the statute sets out a single means of committing.
Does it set out, first of all, let's start out, is it a single offense?
Yes, it is a single offense.
Okay.
State v. Arndt, which I do agree with counsel, does apply here. That case talks about alternative means in the, they use the words offense to refer to the different means. They were dealing with a.
Are you sure?
I believe so, Your Honor. I am
okay,
quite
sure.
That's
what you think.
The statute they were dealing with talked about obtaining public assistance by fraudulent means and talked about a willful false statement, a willful failure to reveal any information, a willful failure to promptly notify, or by other fraudulent device. And the question before Arndt was, are those alternative means? And they phrased that in terms of the question, is the statute describing a single offense in grand larceny, which was the name of the statute, or that is committable in more than one way, which would be a single means, or was it describing several separate and distinct offenses, each constituting grand larceny, which would have been multiple
if
alternative means.
If the legislature had meant to have three different offenses, wouldn't that mean you could bring one count for each offense?
Yes.
Okay.
I think if they had intended to create alternative means, we could bring
No. Alternative offenses.
I believe
okay,
that
an alternative, if not, alternative is the wrong word. If there's distinct offenses, you can obviously charge one count for each offense.
Yes, but when Arndt uses distinct
offenses. If it's a single offense and you can commit it in various ways, how many counts can you bring?
One other than, except for the fact that the legislature here has.
No, not one other than except for the fact. How many can you bring? If there is one offense.
You can bring one charge.
All right, thank you. And if, and so the question that we have here is that there's just one offense of identity theft
mm-hmm.
for each count. Okay, so in each case, and you charged each one by all four alternative means.
Correct.
Okay, or by all four.
All
you
four.
Used all four words, and the question is whether all four words are alternative means or not.
That is the okay. question, correct.
And so the only question really is, if they are alternative means, then is there substantial evidence to support each of them?
And there is.
And if they are not, then as long as there is substantial evidence, we don't have to break it down.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And what is your position?
My position is that they are four different ways to commit the same offense. They are not alternative means. And all
if they are four different ways to commit the same offense, then they are alternative means.
Not in the way that Arndt uses that language. When Arndt talks about different ways to commit the same offense, they are talking about statutes like the trafficking statute that the Supreme Court just addressed in Owens, where it describes seven different verbs in a list, but it constitutes a single offense, one means. And so when Arndt talks about one offense that can be committed in different ways, they are talking about a situation like the trafficking statute, where the court held that it is a single means, even though it lists seven different verbs. When Arndt talks about the legislature setting out separate and distinct offenses, that is what Arndt is referring to as alternative means. So when I say that the legislature here is setting out a single offense that can be committed in more than one ways, I'm using the language of Arndt, which is using that to describe a single alternative means, even though it may contain more than one verb. And when, and in the state, the court in Owens, I contend, is essentially applying the same test that was used in Arndt. They don't set out the factors explicitly, but Arndt looked at the title of the act, whether there's a readily perceivable connection between the acts, whether the acts are consistent or repugnant.
Why do you think it is that the Supreme Court, having set forth a leading case in Arndt and then going on in more recent times to discuss the problem of alternative means, would not cite Arndt or use the Arndt factors?
Your Honor, I don't have an answer to that, but when we look at...
Does it suggest to you possibly that you might be wrong in trying to analyze it using the aren't factors?
It's possible, but I think the court's analysis in Owens tracks the analysis in aren't.
You think this court might just be careless?
No, Your Honor, I don't think so.
Well, then why wouldn't they cite aren't and apply the aren't factors in the same way that you're trying to?
I don't know why they didn't cite aren't. And in many ways, I think they are applying the aren't factors because what the court in Owens looked at, their analysis tracked through three steps. They looked at the fact that the actions described are closely related, which ties to the readily perceivable connection factor in aren't. They then looked at the fact that the conduct among the verbs they were dealing with in Owen did not vary significantly. And then they looked at the fact that multiple of those verbs were often involved in the same act, which Owens viewed as participation in the theft of property for sale to others. Here, our act that the legislature is trying to address is the misappropriation of another person's identifying or financial information. And they are trying to cover their bases by listing verbs that in many respects constitute a continuum in an average identity theft case. Once you obtain, you therefore possess. While you possess, someone might or might not use the information. The legislature wanted to make it a crime either way, but they also wanted to make it a separate crime for each use. And then transferring may or may not happen on that continuum as well, either ending possession by physically transferring an object like a credit card, or when we're talking about simply a credit card number, a piece of information, one could transfer it and still continue to use it yourself.
Well, if you wanted to charge more than one count based on, let's say, the Walgreens incident.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you charged only one.
Yes.
Could you have charged two?
Yes.
If you wanted to.
I believe Walgreens actually was a single purchase. The A1 mart did involve two separate cashier transactions for two separate amounts.
Okay, let's set that aside, though. Let's just talk about there was a single transaction, but could you have charged Mr. Bateman for both possessing the credit card and using it?
No, Your Honor. We could not. If, as defense contends, they were alternative means, we could have. But they are not alternative means, and we could not have charged separate offenses. And I think the legislative statement of intent makes that clear, because they were trying to essentially maintain, to some extent, the court's interpretation that a continuum of obtaining, possessing, transferring, that's all a single act. You can't really divide that up. But at the same time, they wanted to say that each time you use it, that separate use constitutes a separate offense. I think there is no indication that they were trying
separate
to...
Separate offense from what? If you're saying that it's all one thing, what's it separate from?
A different use, that each use is separate from each other. That if you use a credit card five times during the week that you have it, the legislature intends for that person to be able to be punished five different times.
But you could transfer the information multiple times as well.
Yes, and they appear to have chosen not to make that a separate crime. I would say that because they said that unlawfully obtaining, possessing, or transferring is a unit of prosecution for each victim and for each act of obtaining, possessing, or transferring, I would argue that, yes, if you transfer it more than once, either if you transferred it and then reobtained it when we're talking about a physical item, I think, yes, the legislature would say that those could be separate, because if you obtain a credit card, possess it, and then transfer it away.
But you're thinking too much in a tangible medium.
Right.
They take the electronic information and sell it repeatedly.
Right.
In digital form.
I think that there is some ambiguity there. I think that with what we are left with in terms of the amendments to the statement of intent that were made after State v. Leda, I think we are left with the fact that the legislature has made clear that they do intend to make each use a separate crime, but however, they have not made that same change with respect to transferring. Thank you.
Judge Beck, you've correctly pointed out that the Supreme Court hasn't used the aren't test specifically since, I think, the Berlin case in 1997, except for by analogy in an SVP case in 2006. I think my answer to the question that each member of the court has posed, and it's probably an unfortunate answer in general for criminal defendants, but according to the legislature's statement in 935001, which we've both cited supplementally, one could be charged for four crimes: for obtaining, possessing, using, and transferring the same single credit card of one individual person. And that's set forth pretty clear in the legislature's discussion of the unit of prosecution, which was indeed a reaction to the Leda case, in which the Supreme Court said, no, every time, each multiple uses of the same card is just one offense. And additionally, the court also said, once you've
used it. You know, but what your citations to supplemental authority fail to do is illuminate whatever connection there might be between unit of prosecution analysis and alternative means analysis.
So if the unit of I haven't found any specific case that has stated the connection, but if there's a unit of prosecution, that is...
Seconds. But you can try.
If the unit of prosecution defines what constitutes the single crime, then that particular crime is a separate crime in and of itself, and therefore the legislature is quite clearly indicating...
That's a lot of ifs.
Well, unit of prosecution does attempt to determine what conduct equals one crime or multiple crimes, and the legislature has said that using is a crime.
Do you think that there would be a case if there was some interconnection between unit of prosecution, which comes up all the time, and alternative means, which also comes up all the time, that if what you were trying to say was really a fact and a legal principle, that it would have been announced by now?
I searched in vain for a case that specifically connects the two, but I believe...
And you can see how difficult it would be for this court to try to come up with a principle like that based on this briefing.
I do. I would look to 935001. It's explicit that all four terms are separate crimes. Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, isn't there a problem there, even with the WIPIC analysis, because you can obtain it once, you possess it continuously, but you can transfer or use it multiple times?
Yes, and I would have to say, unfortunately, that those, according to the legislature's expressed intent, would be separate offenses and not a single unit of prosecution.
And you would think the state would endorse that proposition, but they don't.
I don't care to endorse that proposition as a general matter, but in this case, that legislative statement, I think, is definitive in terms of whether there are alternative means.
Thanks. You've used your time.
Thank you.